Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Disney has finally done something that I have been wanting them to do since the introduction of Magic Bands. And they have introduced the ability to use your iPhone or Apple Watch as basically a Magic Band to get into the parks, to get into your FastPass Plus reservations. Basically anything that a Magic Band can do, you can now do with an iPhone or Apple Watch. And they've said that Android support's coming later, but for now it's just iOS and watchOS. And I love this, because that was my only complaint about having a Magic Band, was that I had to wear a separate thing. And that's why I think both of us ended up buying those Magic Band holders that yep. clip onto your, you know, watch band, so that you only have one device. But now you don't have to worry about that, and I'm very excited about it.
If you are bought into the Apple ecosystem, because yes. as you said, Android at some point in the future, that is gonna be interesting from the Android side of things, because so with Apple you just support Apple, right? And
right.
you get the NFC and all that, which is what they're using.
There's gonna be a different implementation for Samsung and LG
exactly.
and
yes, know. That's what I'm getting. I feel like it wouldn't surprise me if this was a Apple and Samsung thing, and it might stop
yeah.
there.
Yeah, maybe.
Right, because it gets kind of sketchy once you get past that, for how far you want to go and how deep you want to go to try to support everything. And I don't know, like Android Wear devices, if there's one that has enough market. Like, I know, don't get me wrong, I know there are a lot, you know, I know there are more Android devices than Apple devices. I know that, you know, there are probably plenty of Android Wear devices out in use, but the point here is having a single device that you can support and get a bunch, you know, because while there are a lot of Android devices, they don't all have the exact same implementation of
right.
stuff. Whereas with Apple, there's one implementation and that works for everything. So how new of a device, do you know when they added NFC to iPhones?
Because so
I honestly don't remember.
It's not when they added NFC, it's when they added passive NFC. And I believe that the iPhone 10 is the first one that let you passively use NFC. Before, you had to have, like, you had to double click on the home button to activate wallet for the NFC to work. But I believe it's on the iPhone 10 and newer. Simply tapping, like if the screen is off, tapping the phone against an NFC target will activate NFC. So you've got to have
iPhone
10
last 2 years?
iPhone 10 was 3 years ago. So yeah, you have to have an iPhone from the last 3 years, because the SE will do it. The iPhone 10, 10S, 10R, that generation and newer of iPhone will work.
And you mean the iPhone X, right?
No, I don't. I mean the iPhone. But so one thing that I know you and I have both talked about, I know a lot of people are saying, is, you know, with the Magic Band, it basically had a battery that would last 2 or 3 years. And once the battery died, you had to get another one, but you did not have to worry about the battery dying on your vacation. Most people, you know, back when Magic Bands were free, you got them when you booked your vacation. And so it was literally not a problem for anyone, because you would get a Magic Band, take it with you on your vacation. And when you went to Disney again, if you went within the, you know, Magic Band battery life, it didn't matter, because you just got a new one. Now that they're not free and you have to pay for them, I'm sure that's more of a concern. But one thing that the iPhone does is NFC, the express transit, which, let me go back.
Keep on geeking out here, bud.
So to use this, you will, from the My Disney Experience app, you will add your park ticket, your reservation to the Wallet app. And what that will allow you to do is use your reservation as a ticket, as a NFC ticket. And there's a setting in there called Express Transit Mode. And what that does is let you use something in Wallet without having to authenticate with Touch ID or Face ID. So basically that'll be turned on and this thing will just work. When you tap the back of your phone, it'll register and you'll be good to go. That continues to work when the battery is dead on your phone. So the way that lithium ion batteries work is they never actually go to zero, because if a lithium ion battery discharges all the way to absolute 0%, it will never recharge. So there's always, I think technically there's always like 5% of battery left. And so that will allow that NFC to work even if the battery in your watch or phone is dead. So if for some reason your device battery dies, you can still use this. But I guess they're assuming that everybody's got one of those battery packs or is using a, you know, charger available somewhere. So I don't know, but that was a concern. And while it is inconvenient, if your battery dies, I guess the market research Disney has done has led them to believe that dead batteries are not a super big problem.
Yeah, so I feel like one thing that was always a showstopper for me when talking about replacing the Magic Band with one of your devices, whatever that might be, was photos, right? Because when you talk about the battery that dies in a Magic Band, there's actually two things at play in a Magic Band. There's near field NFC, and then there's like a far NFC, right? There's a active or a passive. Essentially, without the battery, you can still use the touch points to do things like fast passes, right, or enter the parks or pay for things or get into your room.
The same way your toll tag works on your car. Your toll tag on the inside of your windshield doesn't have any kind of power. It's talking to the receiver the receiver in the toll plaza through short range NFC.
Right. But the thing that basically handles, I feel like, is there anything other than photos that uses that long range? I would guess things like the customization on It's a Small World or Rock and Roller Coaster, those things would probably also be using the active, and that is the thing that dies.
Those are pulling from your right. Magic Band.
Right. So those are the things that you will no longer have access to if that battery dies. And that was kind of always the big thing for me, is I still want to be able to have photos, but supposedly photos are still going to work with this Magic Mobile thing.
They work over Bluetooth. I don't know about the, what you were talking about with Rock and Roller Coaster or the, on Haunted Mansion, your name appears and one of the, like, the ghost is riding with you gags. I don't know about that, but ride photos will work through Bluetooth. So your phone and watch both have Bluetooth, which is, good for 30 to 40 feet, which is more than enough. The nicer thing about Bluetooth is when it works, Bluetooth is a lot smarter about distance, about how far away you are from the Bluetooth beacon, which should help with getting you the correct ride photos in Memory Maker. Because I've had a ton of issues where I either got no ride photo or the wrong one. Because NFC is pretty dumb about that. They're guessing a lot of the time on...
I mean, I assume they have a couple of antennas and they're trying to triangulate and things like that. But sure, you're right. There's still only so much you can do.
But Bluetooth, using, two or three Bluetooth beacons at the ride photo area, should be able to pretty accurately tell them where you are, what vehicle you're in. They might even put them in the vehicle. If they put in the ride vehicle little Bluetooth beacons, then the ride vehicle would know pretty close to what row you were in on the ride vehicle. So I don't know how they're doing that, if this is going to be a build out of anything. I know a lot of that, and while we're getting, you know, very technological, a lot of those devices, the NFC antenna devices they would use are like Qualcomm chips, and they often include Wi-Fi and Bluetooth just because they are manufactured. So it may just simply be turning on the Bluetooth radio. I know at work we have a lot of wireless access points that include Bluetooth, not for any kind of data transmission, but just for aggregation of like where are the hotspots, and it kind of will make a heat map for you of like, here, you know, this AP had, you know, 50 people connected to it, but there were 300 people near it, and it'll kind of give you heat mapping that way. So it's possible that it's as simple as them turning on Bluetooth and using it that way. I don't know, but I think it'll be much more reliable than the NFC that they've been doing.
See, and you say turning on Bluetooth, the fact that, as you said, you know, we both know Bluetooth is very good for seeing how many people are in locations and things like that. I would almost guarantee you Disney already has Bluetooth turned on in a lot of places. It's just going to be a matter of directly linking you to your Bluetooth ID and things like that.
Yeah.
That's going to be what they're going to add on here. So,
I also wouldn't be surprised if Disney had some sort of proprietary access to some private Bluetooth API that they can use. Just the whole package seems out of scope for what a normal developer could do. So I wonder if they have some special agreement with Apple that they can use these certain private APIs for this.
Well, but wasn't there, this is really just getting away from the Disney side of things, but wasn't there there was some sort of like Bluetooth access for like hyperlocal ads and things like that? That was in iOS a pretty good ways back, I feel like.
Yeah, it was beacons. I mean, it was like,
the beacon stuff. So
to locate you inside of a store, Apple Store still used those.
Right. So they have that beacon technology, and I feel like the beacon, I think there are ways to already allow yourself to be identified via Bluetooth. So mm-hmm. I don't even know that they need private APIs, and you don't need API for the NFC stuff. You just need to probably, I would imagine there is some provisioning involved in that, because they probably don't want just anybody to have access to that specific, you know, the NFC and the wallet thing. Like NFC, I have an app on my phone that lets me write NFC tags, and I guarantee you that developer didn't have anything special, you know, any special provisioning added on where they had to submit to Apple. But I think for the wallet integration, there's the possibility for something right there. But even that, like, again, that's built for transportation. So while maybe they had to stretch the definition, I don't know that you'd need anything private to have. Not that I don't think Apple would give Disney private API access if they really needed it, but I don't think they would have to have it to do this either.
Well, the Express Transit thing requires input from the user. I imagine they can't just turn that on, because that does enable the NFC to work without authentication. So I assume that there is a, you know, some sort of agree button you have to push. This, you know, part of the text is we're going to turn Express Transit mode on. You do have to have input from the user, and then, you know, adding something to wallet like that requires a special token from Apple. When you compile the app, if you have that, it does give you a special, I can't think of the word. Same thing if you want to have a CarPlay app. Like if you want to do...
And that's exactly what I was thinking, is like CarPlay. I know that you have to have a special provisioning certificate. Yeah. To be able to enable CarPlay features on your app. And so I assumed it was probably the same for wallets. So, but again, that's something any developer can do if they're willing to submit to the certification for it.
Sure.
So yeah, a lot of the stuff seems pretty, you know, pretty open. I think the things that are that would be holding me back, like right now, and there's still time for this to be fixed. The only, the one thing that I kind of am a little gun shy about this whole thing about is, while this, on one level, this feels like the natural progression, right? This feels like where they were always going to go. We always talked about this is where we wanted to see them go because it seemed obvious to us. And so that they went this way seems like, okay, that's a no-brainer. It's only going to continue from here. But we've also talked about a lot of different things that Disney has done. And then, you know, it was essentially a beta test and then it's gone, right? I think this is because of the way they're rolling it out is a more permanent thing. But it's still, there are still some things lacking that I think they need to build out, because you still can't do charging with your Magic Mobile, right? So if you go to a restaurant or something like that, you can still use Apple Wallet with your credit card, but you can't actually charge things to your room like you can with your Magic Band.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like a bit of an oversight to me, but they may also say anybody who goes to putting this in their Apple Wallet likely has a credit card, so we're not as concerned about that. The other thing, and the one that to me, this one is the one that confounds me, and I don't understand it. You can't get into your hotel room with Magic Mobile.
Yeah, you have to use the same app, but just a different button.
But the whole point is what makes Magic Mobile such a great thing in my mind, and I would, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but I would say in your mind too, is that you don't have to use the app, right? Like, it just works.
Mm-hmm.
You just tap and you're done. The only place where that isn't the case, which I actually really like this, is if you are, you know, so say for example, my daughter or my son, you know, so like, let's say that we all went to the parks. My wife and I both have Apple devices. You know, we have watches and phones. And so, of course, we would put our tickets on those and we'd use the passive, what did you call that? The transit mode, right?
Express transit mode.
Transit mode for ours.
It's for like, if you're trying to get on the subway, you don't want to have to stop and authenticate and everything. You just tap your device.
Hold on, everybody, while I open my... Oh, dang it. Hold on. I got to take my mask off so I can get the face. Sorry. Oh, darn it. Darn it. It locked. Hold on. I got to type in my pass. No, that just doesn't work. While we would use that for ours, you can also have your you know, kids or somebody who's traveling with you who doesn't have a phone, you can have their pass on there. And then it's more of a standard wallet, you know, where you open wallet, you unlock using whatever method, and then you can swipe through to select whichever one you're going to use, and then you can use theirs as well, which, like I said, I like that aspect of it, because that means that they already have a solution for my kid to not need to have a Magic Band if I don't want them to have a Magic Band or something.
At that point, it's literally a wallet where you would have like everybody's Key to the World card.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, to me, the big showstopper right now, and I don't want to try to oversell this, like, oh my gosh, this is utter garbage but the thing that makes me go, it's still not quite there for me yet, is the hotel room thing. And that's just because, so here's the other thing, of all the places on Disney property where I am most likely to have a dead cell phone,
yeah,
my hotel room is it. Hotel room is the number one, because that is the end of the day. You know, I've been running around the park, and honestly, I carry my, you know, I've got a backup battery with me. That all of our devices would be dead and everything is extremely unlikely. But if you have this ability for, you know, for the park entry and everything, why can we not also have that same ability for the rooms? I don't quite understand that.
So what is the technology they're using right now to open the rooms?
It's got to be NFC, right? Because it's still like the magic bands are pretty simple devices, right? They've got the short range and the long range. And it's the short range because you have to tap your magic band to actually get it to read.
But the app makes you do something else. You have to like...
The app thing? Yeah, I have no clue what that's doing.
Activate the... You say like, I want to unlock my room. And then you also have to tap your...
Yeah, and then you tap it and then it unlocks. Phone.
So I don't know if they're using some sort of other kind of authentication.
Like maybe some sort of handshake, and then it might be a security issue where they want to keep the room even more secure than the park tickets or something. I don't know. Or it could also be
if you lost your phone or somebody stole your phone, then if all they needed to do was have your phone. Because you don't have to unlock the phone. And so I wonder if they're trying to work through, like, if somebody steals your phone from the park and then comes to your hotel room at 2 in the morning, they can just get in. But I guess if somebody steals your magic band...
I was about to say, yeah, if somebody steals your magic band, it's the exact same thing. So I feel like this is six one way, half dozen the other. Here's what I wonder. Everything else that we've talked... So the two things that it does not support are... paying for things and for the rooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you pay for things very often, that's at a restaurant where they bring you the reader and you tap it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the checking into the rooms is the reader that's on the door. I wonder if the technology in those is slightly different and maybe there is something that does not... You know, maybe that reader just is specifically functional with the type of NFC transmitter that is in the magic bands and doesn't work with the NFC in the iPhone. I know that NFC should be NFC, but you and I both know that there's those weird things where you get that vendor lock-in or something.
Yeah, that's just not how technology works.
So I wonder if there's some, that's the only thing I can think of is maybe some weird vendor lock-in thing that they have and they, you know, maybe need to update those things to support the, you know, that. And it may even be able to do firmware, a firmware update to support it. But that, because otherwise that's just, it's a weird thing to say, we're going to support everything except for these things.
Don't know. That is frustrating, though, that like two of the, especially not being able to charge things, sucks. Can you use Apple Pay at restaurants?
Yeah, you can still use Apple Pay.
Like that work? Oh, I don't know. I don't even know if you could before, but that works. Like Apple Pay works at restaurants.
At least I feel like I've used Apple Pay at restaurants before on property. I don't. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I dreamed that, but. I thought I used Apple Pay at a restaurant on property. So I think Apple Pay is still an option. Yeah, it's not as convenient as charging it to your room. And, you know, if you do like me and you've paid for everything with gift cards and then you're loading your gift cards onto your room and all that kind of stuff for, you know, the convenience sake while you're out and about, that wouldn't work. But you could still just pay with the gift card itself. So There are definitely work. Again, none of this is this is utter garbage because of this. It's just, it feels like they got 90% of the way there. And I just want them to put the car in the driveway, close the garage door and call it done. Right. You drove all the way here. Just put the car up the driveway and put it in the garage.
This is the most flexible thing for them to do. I think this is definitely a long-term thing because it's way more flexible. Now, any change they want to make, any functionality they want to add is all, or I won't say all, but it is mostly in software. If they come out with some new technology or they want to add something, as long as the hardware in the parks can do it, it's all software. It's all just somebody writing it into the software. So I think that this is far and away the most flexible thing as far as using wireless. So they're way more flexible than magic bands where, like, especially people like you who have many of them, the special ones, those are kind of way more locked in than this. So I think that this is definitely long-term, their long-term strategy. is to have you BYOD and just have them supply the software, which is, one, software has no marginal cost. Once it's written and you can use it everywhere. There is no need to manufacture anything. You write the software, you compile it, you release it, and it's out there. And it costs them nothing after it's been released. So it just makes sense that this is what they would want to do. We are incurring the big cost of buying the device. They just supply us with the means.
Yeah, so that brings up what I consider to be a four-letter word: microtransactions. Because, as you said, I have a lot of the special edition Magic Bands, you know, because they do the special scans and all those sorts of things. Disney has I feel like, made a pretty penny on, you know, all of the limited edition and limited release Magic Bands, and I don't see them just parting with that money, you know, for what they feel like is no good reason. So
wait. Are you thinking they're going to sell like 99 cents to get this sound whenever you scan your magic, your nope. watch?
Nope. I think it's going to be $1.99 or $4.99, depending on the sound. And I think it could even be that there are, you know, only 5,000 of them. So you have to be one of the first 5,000 to buy that sound.
Hmm. I had not even considered that.
You don't think that that's going to be a thing, because they love money. It's Disney.
I had not even considered that. But yeah, I mean, I could see them doing that, but that would be, I don't know if they've never done anything like that before. That would be a pretty big leap.
But they have. Like, my Tiki Room Magic Band that does the little Tiki Room thing, when I scanned it at the, you know, at the entrance, and that I bought specifically because it did that thing. Like, I thought the art was cool and all, but I let's be honest, the thing that really put me over the edge was that it did that. And that is totally pointless and completely needless, and yet I had to have one because it did that. And if they did that, I'm really afraid that, you know, they put out the Figment Magic Mobile sound pack, and suddenly I find myself being a dum-dum and parting with some of my hard-earned cash for, you know, just a sound at an entrance, you know, touch point or whatever.
Well, it'll at least be a lot easier for you to part with that, because it's only a click away.
I think you need to go ahead and trademark that right now before the podcast releases, because Disney is going to steal that, bud. Assuming it's probably already trademarked. That sounds just way too good. But just in case, TM, TM, TM.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.